So we thank you that tonight we are depending on brand new mercies, not the mercies of yesterday. We thank you, Heavenly Father, because you are indeed good. You have called each one of us, you have chosen each one of us, and you have appointed us to be in this service to your honor and glory through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. Hallelujah. Like already introduced, my name is Gerald Ayebale, Kyo Muhendo Akiki, Tata Joshua Ephraim and Joel, husband to Barbara, and many other names. I'm coming to you from St. Stephen's Church, Kisugu, by the grace of God, and I know that each time I stand before men and women that God has appointed and called, it's His grace, because while I was a sinner, He chose me. He transplanted me from where I was in the wilderness, and He appointed me to be an instrument of His gospel. And so I don't take it for granted. Give Him a hand clap. In contemporary worship, there is a song we sing, and its title is "I Know Who I Am." And listen to some of the words in that song. It says, "We are a chosen generation. We have been called forth to show His excellence. All I require for life, God has given me, and I know who I am." Listen to it again. We are a chosen generation. We have been called forth to show His excellence. All I require for life, God has given me, and I know who I am. Praise the name of the Lord. This evening, I want to begin by asking the question, do you perceive the fact that you have been chosen by the Lord Most High? Does it occur to you that you are unique and special because God has chosen you? As you walk, as you wake up, as you go to bed, as you interact with your peers, as you do the things you do, are you convinced? Do you know that you have been chosen? And so this evening, I want us to understand that we are not ordinary because God has chosen us, and not just chosen us, He has also appointed us. Praise the name of the Lord. And so every believer holds an appointment letter from God Most High. And those of you who came to this service and you don't have appointment letters yet, by the end of this service, you should be having one. Amen. Praise the name of the Lord. I mean, listen, the event where God talked to Jeremiah in Jeremiah chapter 1, verse 4 and 5. The word of the Lord came to Jeremiah, and this is what it was saying, that before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I set you apart. I appointed you as a prophet to the nations. And so whoever has accepted Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior has in turn received an appointment from God Most High. And that has implications. And that is why we are going to spend a lot of our time trying to understand how we have been appointed, how we have been chosen, and what that means to a believer today. Praise the name of the Lord. And so quickly, let's turn to Luke chapter 13, verse 6 to 9. Luke chapter 13, verse 6 to 9. Luke chapter 13, verse 6 to 9. This is what it says. It says, "Then he told this parable. A man had a fig tree planted in his vineyard, and he went to look for fruit on it, but did not find any." Let's take it slow a little. "Then he told this parable." Who is this? Jesus Christ is telling a parable. And who is he addressing? When you study that chapter, you realize that Jesus was talking to the crowd, and in that crowd were religious leaders. And he seems, when you study the context, he seems to be talking directly to the religious leaders at the time. And so he says, "A man had a fig tree planted in his vineyard." And to me, that is important, that a man had a fig tree planted in his vineyard. this is a fig tree, but this man is planting it in a vineyard. This is just one tree, but it is being put at the center or amidst vines. And Jesus uses this to teach something that I'm going to expose to us tonight. But let us understand certain facts about this fig tree, or some of the possibilities about this fig tree. Picture this man walking maybe in the wilderness, and he comes across a fig tree. Maybe this fig tree is in the wilderness, and definitely it is destined for the wild. And so it is growing among the wild. It might be choked by shrubs that is around it, or even scorched by the sun. I imagine this fig tree, like Jesus taught some time earlier, it is being choked like those seeds that fell in soil that was not good and amongst thorns. And so this fig tree is challenged. This fig tree seems to be vulnerable and far from life. Maybe it has poor roots because of its condition, because of the bad soil that is around it. This fig tree, I imagine, had no protection from soil erosion because nobody took care of it. This fig tree is at risk that it may not bear fruit because of the conditions that are surrounding it. And so this man is moving around and he lands on this fig tree. And guess what? He chooses to transplant the fig tree from that condition and place it in the middle of vines. Praise the name of the Lord. I don't know what moved this man, but maybe he was moved with compassion. Maybe he looked at it and he saw potential, but that potential could not be released if the fig tree was left where it was. And so in his wisdom, or out of compassion, or by love, he chose to transplant this fig tree from where it was and put it amidst the vines. He transplanted it and put it in his vineyard where it would be safe. In the vineyard, this fig tree would find fine soils. In the vineyard, this fig tree would be fertilized. It would be pruned. This fig tree, if it was in the present times, in the vineyard, it would experience a greenhouse treatment. It's possible that this fig tree, where it had been transplanted, it would be watered. It would also be sprayed against every form and sort of pests. In other words, it has been taken from a bad condition and placed in a place where it can thrive. Praise the name of the Lord. And so the fig tree that was formerly endangered is no longer endangered. Why? Because there is a man who looked at it and chose it and planted it amidst an organized, orderly vineyard. Praise the name of the Lord. And so you begin to wonder, why does this man take the cost? Why does he choose to pay that price? Because obviously, if he was experienced in vines, bringing in a fig tree means he needs to do a bit of research. Bringing in a fig tree in amidst vines means he has to give it special care and special attention. So it is quite costly to have this fig tree thrive and survive at the center of a vineyard. But the man chose to pay that price. He chose to go through whatever he went through so that the fig tree would thrive, so that it would survive. But why? Listen to verse 6, the second part, 6b. It says, and he went to look for fruit on it, but did not find any. He went to look for fruit from it, but did not find any. Praise the name of the Lord. The fig tree was made to live amongst vines because the owner of the vineyard had appointed it for fruit production. Everybody say fruit production. Say it again, fruit production. The vine dresser gave it attention. He gave it benefits from the vines in order for it to produce some fruits. But after some time, he went to pick some fruits. It says he went to look for fruit on it, but did not find anything. All he could see was green leaves. It was flourishing with leaves, but when he drew closer and looked under the leaves, there was not a single fruit. And now listen to what it says in verse 7. He says, so he said to the man who took care of the vineyard, for 3 years now, I have been coming to look for fruit on this fig tree and haven't found any. Cut it down. Why should it use up the soil? Why should it waste space? For how many years? 3 years. He came the first year to look for fruit, and there was no fruit. He came the second year to look for fruit, and there was no fruit. He came for the third year, the third time, to look for fruit, and there was no fruit. Gardener, cut it down. Gardener, do what? Oh, say it louder. Gardener, do what? 1 year, no fruit. Second year, no fruit. Third year, no fruit. Gardener. Let's understand this parable. The context is that the fig tree refers to the people of the time, especially religious leaders who had been given so many privileges in the vineyard of Israel and yet were not bearing or producing any fruit that pleased God. And so according to Jesus Christ, these people who enjoyed so many privileges at the time, and yet they had been chosen by the grace of God and are not producing fruit, Jesus Christ says, I am disgusted, cut down this tree. The cutting down simply refers to God's impending judgment. Because you cannot bear fruit, he says, I should get rid of you. You do not qualify. And this is very consistent with the words of John the Baptist in Luke chapter 3, verse 9, which says, the axe is already at the root of the trees, and every tree that does not produce good fruit will be cut down and thrown into the fire. Praise the name of the Lord. And so Jesus looks at this tree, and he says it does not qualify to be there consuming space and yet bearing no fruit. In other words, he's telling the people, the Jews, and the whole crowd, that if God has given you a privilege to live where you are with the privileges that you have, and yet you are not influencing or bearing any fruit, you do not qualify to stay in that place. The words of Jesus are, cut it down. Praise the name of the Lord. Cut it down. Listen, friends, it's very easy for us to think about these religious leaders and the people that lived at the time and say they were very wicked. It's possible that we can look at them and judge them for being unserious. How do you have all those privileges and you cannot bear even a single fruit? It's very possible that we can pass judgment over them. But listen, none of us here is a Jew. If there is a Jew in our midst tonight, I will get to you later on. But for now, those of you who are not Jews, listen to me. That because you are a Gentile, it is the grace of God that brings you into the kingdom of God to be called a child of God. And so you were in the wilderness, the Gentile wilderness, and God, by his grace, chose you and transplanted you into his vineyard called the kingdom of God. Give him a hand clap. It is that grace that brings you to where you are, at the center of his kingdom. The word of God tells us in Romans 3:23 that all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. In Isaiah 53, we are told, like sheep, we all have gone astray. And so how is it possible that we can be called children of God? It is because this God has chosen us from the wilderness of sin. He has transplanted us from the suffering of the harsh and terror of the sinfulness of this world and the fallenness of this world. That God looked at us before we could qualify. Bible says, while we were still sinners, while we were still in the wilderness, while we were still vulnerable and endangered, hopeless, without a future, far away from life, He transplanted us into His vineyard. Praise the name of the Lord. Think about your past. You have a wilderness of some sort. Let me leave the spiritual wilderness. Let's talk about the physical wilderness. I know that there are a number of people in this congregation under the sound of my voice who come from very far away that they do not even know how many kilometers they are far from Kampala City. Hello? Oh yes, they are there. There are people here who come from villages where it is a privilege to see a vehicle at least once a week. Actually, when a vehicle passes in your village, work comes to a standstill. If I was given a signpost, an opportunity to put a signpost in that village, I would put there, no village ahead. You come from far away, but Jesus Christ has transplanted you from there to the city of this country. Oh, praise the name of the Lord. There are people who are here and you are once unemployed. You walked on the streets of Kampala, you tried businesses, and it was a wilderness. You could not break through. Jesus Christ transplanted you from that world, and today you are prosperous. That is the Lord God Most High. Oh, friends, there is a time you were sick, and you thought you were going to die. All hope was gone. Everything seemed to have gotten to the end. But God delivered you. Today you are planning 50 years ahead of you. That was a wilderness. I am talking about somebody who once went through some sort of wilderness. You could be here and maybe you are not coming from the village. You actually had everything you needed growing up. But your parents were absent all the time. You were an occupational orphan. And you lived by the masses of housemaids and houseboys and shamba boys. They took care of you. And that was a wilderness. Jesus Christ caused you to be transplanted from there. And today you are in His kingdom. Praise the name of the Lord. And so I am talking about being transplanted, being chosen by the grace of God to a place where you are. And the reason, ladies and gentlemen, Jesus has done that is so that you may bear fruit. Praise the name of the Lord. Is so that you may bear fruit. And He says, I've come 1 year, no fruit. 2nd year, no fruit. 3rd year, no fruit. Gardener. I lifted you from that place, from that small house, and placed you into this mansion. You are not bearing any fruit. Gardener. You were once unemployed. Landlords were harassing you. Today you own houses and mansions. You are a landlord yourself. You are not bearing any fruit. Gardener. That is the reason why God chose you and lifted you from that wilderness to a place where you are today. You were at the periphery. Nobody knew you. It was wild. It was hopeless. Oh, it was bad. I know what I am talking about, friends, because God has lifted me from such a scenario. I can tell you, when you're talking about bad villages, mine must be the one topping that list. But even when God transplanted me from there and brought me to the city of Kampala, I didn't come to live in Kololo. I lived in a police barracks where sewage can break free all the time and anytime, and it crosses through the compound. And the only thing you do to have a meal is close the door so you can just smell without seeing, but you still eat. And that is where I was. And life was going well, friends. Jesus looked at me and said, if I leave Gerald in this wilderness, 4th April 2018, people will not sit and he preaches. Oh, he said, I can't leave you here. I have to lift you from here and place you in the vineyard. Give him another hand clap. I must lift you to the vineyard. Friends, I can tell you that God wants us to bear fruit. I know who I am. I know I have been chosen. I know where God found me and lifted me from there and placed me where I am. And I know and I'm sure of where he is taking me. Praise the name of the Lord. God wants me to bear fruit, whether it's in the market, whether it's in a hotel, wherever it is, he wants me to bear fruit. That is why he lifted me from that place and blessed me where I am. I was endangered. I was heading for destruction. There was no hope whatsoever. And after realizing that God, like this fig tree, has had mercy on me, he has chosen me and appointed me to bear fruit, I became unstoppable. Everybody say, unstoppable. Unstoppable. Oh, unstoppable. I don't care who listens to me, for as long as you're there, I will preach and I will preach the word of God, because I am chosen, I am appointed to do that. Oh, praise the Lord. And so, friends, this is what it means when God says, I have appointed you, I have chosen you. Think about yourself, that the Lord has given you a new world, and this world is the kingdom of God. He has given you a new language. He has given you exposure. He has lifted you. Now you can sit with princes and princesses. You are feeding well, but he comes 1 year, no fruit. 2nd year, no fruit. 3rd year, no fruit. Gardener. Because the vine dresser is not willing to take it anymore. You are not living for what he created you to be. You are not doing the reason, the things he delivered you from the wilderness for you to do where you are right now. And so he's thinking, why should you consume space for nothing? He says, why should you just warm those pews? Even here at the cathedral level, I know that I know. There are people who come and just sit in the pews. Hello? And there is nothing coming through. You are not in the choir. Ask your neighbor, are you? You are not a warden. Ask your neighbor, are you? You are not on any committee. Ask your neighbor, are you? 1 year, no fruit. 2 years, no fruit. 3 years, no fruit. Gardener. Because God has not saved you to just consume space and consume our Holy Communion wine when you are not bearing fruit. Gardener, cut it down. After God has had grace on you, he has chosen you. Oh, friends, when I look back at the people I grew up with, the people I started school with, I go back to Masindi and I look at these boys. They are already grandmothers. I am only 36 years, and the people I went with to school are grandfathers, grandmothers. You can't imagine. I think about that and I give the Lord all glory and praise. The other day I went to Nakawa Market to do shopping, and a boy I sat with in class at Naguru Infant was there to direct me where to park. And he told me, Muzei, mkusitulireko. Somebody I went with to class, if God was able to choose me amongst those and bring me to a place where I am, if I don't bear any fruit, I should be cut down. If you are such a person that God has chosen you from wherever you were and you are not bearing fruit, gardener, because you are consuming space for nothing. Ask your neighbor, are you consuming space for nothing? Please excuse, help us. Tell them, help us. I chose you and appointed you so that you may bear fruit. If you don't, our vine dresser is about to cut you down. Offertory on Sunday, you give the smallest note. You keep fidgeting and looking for the smallest note. Gardener, cut it down. SCP collections. Oh, we have been building, and fundraising drives have come through every year, every Sunday, every month, everyone. For you, each time the SCP bag comes, you look the other side. Gardener, cut it down. Because God has delivered you to bear fruit. You don't even have a Bible study you belong to. There are no prayers at your house. You have not even shared the gospel with the person you share a desk with at your workplace. You are in business, but your colleagues do not even know that you are a born-again Christian. Gardener, cut it down. You are not bearing fruit. Jesus has not chosen you and appointed you to just consume space. He wants you to bear fruit. Listen, friends, there seems to be a voice of an intercessor. Read verse 8 and 9. Same chapter. It says, "Sir," the man replied, "leave it alone for one more year, and I will dig around it and fertilize it. If it bears fruit next year, fine. If not, then cut it down." Oh, give a hand clap to the Lord. Give a hand clap to the Lord. Yes, these guys were qualified. They were qualifying to be cut down, but there was a voice of grace that cried out and said, "One more year." Everybody say, "One more year." Oh, one more year. Say it again. That is the grace of the Lord that is willing to give us a second chance. It's possible that you entered this sanctuary without bearing fruit, but there is a voice of grace that says, "One more year." Oh, friends, what a joy that God is willing to accept our new beginning every other time that we falter. And so this man says, "One more year. I will fertilize it. I will dig around it. I will prune it. I will give it my very best. If it bears fruit, fine. If not, then cut it down." Friends, God wants us to bear fruit. He has been so gracious to us. Let me tell you, the religious leaders at the time seemed to be prosperous. They were like that fig tree that you would look at a distance, and it was flourishing with so many leaves. But if you drew closer and looked under the leaves, there was no fruit. That is how these religious leaders looked like. Oh, they were majestic. They looked so handsome. They looked so mighty and awesome. But there was no fruit. And I can tell you, there are people who are seated in this congregation today, and they look at a distance. They look prosperous. They seem to be flourishing. They seem to be having green leaves. But when you draw closer and look under the leaves, there is no fruit. Oh, yes, I know, because I've visited some people, and you get there, the head of the family cannot even say a prayer to bless the tea for the reverend. That is how bad it can be sometimes. It looks prosperous. It looks nice. But when you draw close and look under, there is no fruit. Jesus Christ is challenging us tonight that we should stop being there without bearing any fruit. Hallelujah. Oh, yes, these guys were not only failing to bear the fruit that was pleasing to God, they also were bearing bad fruit. Think about a time when a woman is caught in adultery. These are supposed to be pastors, but they had become hunters. So they bring this woman to Jesus and say, "The law says we should stone." Can you imagine a pastor saying the law says we should stone? Rather than being shepherds, they were hunters. Bad fruit. There are some of us who are flourishing and bearing bad fruit. We are so good at bearing bad fruit. And the fruit we are bearing is not the fruit that Jesus wants us to bear. You seem to be satisfied, but that is not where Jesus wants you to be. And so this evening is saying, can you come back to me and understand that it is me who chose you, it is me who appointed you, and there is a specific kind of fruit I want you to bear. Don't be satisfied with just making money. Understand that before you were formed in your mother's womb, the Lord chose you and appointed you for a specific purpose. And I am not ashamed to say that there are so many people here who are flourishing in wrong fruit. I said this the other day in St. Stephen's Kisugu, that you are like how we use Panadol these days. You know how we use Panadol? When your flat iron, your pressure, it has issues down, you get Panadol and you clean it. How many do that here? Thank you very much. Can I inform you, Panadol is a pain reliever. It is not a flat iron cleaner. But when you use it to clean your flat iron, it will do the job effectively. But that is a wrong purpose. You are causing Panadol to bear wrong fruit. Slide up. Tell your neighbor, slide up. God has chosen you and planted you where you are to achieve that he wants you to achieve. And friends, we have basics. He says, go make disciples of all nations. He says, support the work of mission. Support the work of discipleship. Are you participating? Are you contributing? Even when you have a business schedule, God can avail you resources for you to support where you are. That is what it means to bear that fruit that pleases the Lord. Give him a hand clap. Jesus says, my command is this, love each other as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, that he laid down his life for his friends. This is what Jesus went through in order for you to be where you are. Excuse me. He paid a price. And on Sunday and the rest of the other week, we were celebrating that and remembering that. But all that he has done so that you can come to his vineyard, his kingdom. He has chosen you for that. He has appointed you to cause a multiplier effect. Don't be comfortable where you are. Friends, in John chapter 15 and verse 16, he says, you did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you to go and bear fruit that will last. Then the Father will give you whatever you ask in my name. Let me tell you, answered prayer is one of the indicators that you are bearing fruit. Because he says, whatever you ask, go bear fruit, and whatever you ask for in my name, I will grant. When you come closer to God, you are able to know what his will is, and you are able to bear fruit, and when you pray, it is granted. Why? You pray in the will of the Lord. I want to close this way, that each one of us needs stealing from the Lord. Each one of us needs manure tonight from the Lord. You could be seated here, and friends, the truth is, you have not been bearing fruit. Or you know that your neighbors, you have not talked to them about Jesus Christ. You know how your participation has been in the mission of God in the cathedral here. And God is saying, can you take it a notch higher? Can you participate a little more? Can you get involved into my businesses? Let whatever breaks my heart break your heart. Bear fruit wherever God has planted you, because that is why he has chosen you. That is why he has appointed you to be what you are. That is why you are the leading businessman or woman in this city. That is why you are able to do the things you do. I don't care whether you are a sweeper in an organization. Don't be intimidated because you have been chosen and appointed. Please bear fruit there. Oh yes, live for Jesus in that place. Tonight, Jesus is here to do nothing but to water us, to encourage us one more time. He's here to say, I give you another chance. And let me ask us to stand up. All of us, please stand up. I want to ask you, do you have a fig in your vineyard? Is your workplace figgy? Do you feel like giving up and leaving? Where are you today in your vineyard? There is a gracious voice of the Lord saying, I can till you, I can manure you, I can look after you, I can bless you so much so that you can bear fruit, not just in your family, but even beyond. And tonight I want somebody to cry out to the Lord and say, Lord, I need you. I want somebody to say, Lord, I know I have faltered or I haven't worked up to your expectation, but tonight I need you. I want you to release yourself to the Almighty God and say, Lord, there has seemed to be no life. Oh yes, I have seemed prosperous, but I know from my heart of hearts that I am not bearing fruit. I can be better. I need you. Come and minister to me. Lord, I come, I confess, bowing here, I find my rest. Without you, I fall apart. I fall apart. You're the one that guides my heart. Lord, I need you.
Lord, I need you. Oh,
grace is found is where you are.
Grace is found is where you are. Where you are,
I am free.
Lord, I am free.
Holiness,
holiness is Christ in me.
Lord, I need you. Everybody sing out. Tonight, I don't want to be the same again. Tonight,
I want to influence lives. I want to influence nations. I want to influence tribes. I want to make a difference. I want to make a difference in Uganda. I want to make a difference in my family. I want to make a difference in my church. I want to make a difference wherever you send me, at my workplace. I want to make a difference in my businesses. I want to make a difference. Oh Lord, enable me to bear fruit. Enable me to bear fruit. Enable me to break through. Enable me, Lord. I need you tonight because you have called me. You have chosen me. You have appointed me. Lord, I will be unstoppable. Lord, I will be unmovable. Lord, I will be unshakable. Lord, I will not stop until you say stop. Lord, I will not give up. I will not back out. I will not surrender. Lord, I will not give in. Lord, the devil will not win. I must bear fruit. I will be there. I will stand strong. I will shine for you, Jesus. I will live for you, Jesus. The world will know. My neighbors will know. My family will know. My friends will know. I will bear fruit because you have chosen me. You have appointed me. You have equipped me to bear fruit. Oh, Lord, I need you. Oh, Lord, I want to make a difference. Oh, Lord, I want to transform lives because that is what you have chosen me to be. That is what you have called me to be. Oh, Lord. Give me your grace because I need you. Oh Lord, I need you. Oh Lord, I desire to bear fruit that will last. Oh Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Oh yes, Lord.
Thank you, Father.
Oh yes, I pray, Heavenly Father.
Yes, Lord.
For that person who is in this place and they have been flourishing in the wrong place, I ask that your Holy Spirit will speak to them with simplicity and clarity. And that, Lord, they will bear fruit that you expect them to bear. Lord, I pray in the name of Jesus that no one amongst those that are here who you have delivered from the wilderness, who you have delivered from the worst of times, will not bear fruit. None of these that stand in your presence tonight. Lord, I ask, Heavenly Father, that we will influence not just this cathedral, but nations and beyond. I pray in the name of Jesus Christ that there will be an army equipped to bear fruit in the city of Kampala and transform the whole nation. I pray in the name of Jesus that none of these will settle for less because you have chosen us. You have appointed us to bear fruit. And so, Lord, we surrender to you because it's all about you. We honor you. We glorify you, Lord. Thank you for choosing us. That while we were still sinners, while we were miserable, scorched like the fig tree, hopeless, nobody knew about us. We were ready for soil erosion to wash us away. And yet you delivered us. Lord, we will not settle for anything else rather than fruitfulness. We honor you, we glorify you, because we pray in Jesus' name. Give him a hand clap.
Amen.